Is everyone back in here? Looks like it. All right, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for a day off for many of us. I thank you for the ability to come here tonight still, though. Lord, I just pray that you would speak through what I'm about to say. Father, I pray that this would pierce every one of our hearts, Lord, as this topic I think is pretty relevant for everyone in this room. And I pray that what I say tonight, Lord, would change how we think of how we live our lives, Lord, that you would convict us where we need convicting, that you would encourage us and empower us to be leaders for you. It's in your son's name we pray, amen. All right, so when Eric asked me to speak and basically just talk on a topic that I thought you guys needed to hear about, I was immediately thought of leadership. And it's convenient that we're also doing, at my school, we're doing a chapel series on leadership. So it's been on my mind a lot. But let's talk about what a leader is before we dive in to what I'm going to talk about. So, leader, dictionary definition, is someone who takes command of something and is of great influence. So someone who takes charge and has influence, has people who look up and listen to him or her. As Christians, we are called to be leaders. That's literally one of the main things Jesus calls us to do. We are not supposed to be followers. We're supposed to be followers of him, but in our cultures, in our places of work, in our places of school, on our sports teams, whatever we're involved with, Jesus has called us to be leaders in those areas, which means that we need to lead like him. We have to be very intentional about how are we leading. And to do that, we need to be very intentional about how we are being led. What are we being led by? So we can either fill ourselves with the Bible, what Jesus commands us, what he tells us about how we're supposed to live, or we can fill ourselves with stuff that might not seem all that harmful, but can slowly chip away at us, can slowly lead us further and further away from God's word and instead towards the culture that we live in. So tonight, to learn about how to be Christian leaders in a hostile culture, we are going to learn about some teenagers from about 3,000 years ago who lived in a very similar situation. We're going to pick up with a Jewish boy living in a foreign land, very much like ours, a land of riches and possibilities beyond his wildest dreams, but also a land that constantly pressured him to walk away from God's word and from what God told him to do. Anyone know who I'm talking about? Talking about the prophet Daniel and his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as... Very good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes. So, who better to learn about being a leader in a hostile environment than the prophet Daniel? Daniel was a Jewish boy who was taken from his homeland of Judah when he was somewhere between the ages of 13 and 16. So, about the age most of you guys are. And he was taken along with his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they're taken to the king's palace, King Nebuchadnezzar's palace, the king of basically the entire world at this point. So let's see what Daniel says about this time. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that he ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Then Daniel said to the steward, Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the king spoke with them, and among all of them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. So we see here Daniel and his friends are brought in with a bunch of other Jewish boys to essentially learn how to be Babylonian, how to be the best possible advisors to this king they possibly could be. There's only one problem here. Daniel and his friends weren't Babylonian. And the Babylonian culture was not like the Jewish culture at all. It wasn't a culture where people served one God. It wasn't a culture where people took care to follow specific rules and set themselves apart from all the other things that the world wanted them to do. No, Babylon was a culture much like our culture today. Babylon was a culture that worshipped many different gods. Babylon was a culture ruled by a king who certainly did not follow God and did not really care about his laws. And Babylon was a culture in which sin reigned. This is not far off from our own culture. Like Daniel and his friends in Babylon, we are also living in a foreign land. We are not living in our home. Jesus echoes this in John 15:19 when he says, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, and therefore the world hates you." And think about it. Think about the culture in which we live in. Even though many of you guys go to Christian schools, you face a culture, you live in a culture that is not God-honoring and is not Christian. You live in a culture that seeks to defile you, just like the Babylonian culture sought to defile Daniel and his friends. Think about it. How often do you listen to music that all the rest of the world listens to? Might be good music, it might be interesting, but is its message something that's building you closer to Christ, or is it tearing you away from him? Think about the shows or movies that you and your friends watch. Are they bringing you closer to Christ, or are they actively tearing you away from him? Yes, Daniel has the example of food, partially because the Jewish people, God had given them strict laws on what to eat. But the principle of caring more about God's laws than the culture's laws, I think, can carry over to where we are today. Or think about social media. Think about how often we like things that are not godly. Think about how often we do things for attention. I'm including myself in here. We do things for the attention of others that, at the very least, aren't wise. On the far end of the scale, aren't godly. Think about how often it's just you and your friends and you don't think anyone else is listening. Do you say things that honor God, your parents, fellow believers? Or is the way you're speaking just like the culture would do? These are the questions we have to look at. We live in a hostile culture. If you have not observed it yet already, because you live in the Christian school bubble, you will. America, for all the great things, for how wonderful it is to live here, and it is, we live in a land of far more freedoms than most of the world, both now and historically. But America does not like Jesus anymore. America does not like what the Bible says, and America does not like what Christians stand for. And just like Daniel, we're kind of faced with three alternatives. Are you going to fight the culture? There are certainly some that do. Are you going to flee from the culture? Are you going to run away? Are you going to bury your head in the sand? Or the most easy option, are you just going to accept culture? Are you just going to be a part of it? These are possible responses. If you fight the culture, you'll probably be tempted to do it in a way that many of us have seen. Loud, angry, very verbal, oftentimes trying to get more attention on ourselves than just standing for our principles. We've seen leaders like this, who in some ways probably have stood for good things, but have not acted in good ways. They've not led well. They've not fought against the culture by standing for what they believed in. They've fought against the culture by screaming and tearing people down. I'm not saying there's never a time and a place to be vocal about what you believe in. Daniel was, but notice how Daniel and his friends did it. They came humbly to the people in authority. They presented an alternative. Hey, can we try this out? Would it be possible? They didn't stand up in the public square and start talking about how bad the king was and how bad his laws were. They prayed, they asked for favor, and God granted it to them. Yes, they stood out. You can guarantee that while they were eating vegetables, everyone else could see they weren't eating and drinking like everyone else. But again, notice their attitudes. It wasn't about them. It was about following God's laws. They weren't trying to make a show. They were trying to do what was right to please God. How about fleeing from culture? Yeah, there are times where you literally have to get up and run away, like Joseph when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He literally fled out of the house. There are times when you got to do that too. When your friends are watching something that you know you shouldn't be watching, yeah, maybe you might have to leave. When people are gossiping or saying things, you might have to say, hey, I'm not comfortable with this, and you might have to walk away. Sometimes fleeing is the best response, but we can't live in a pattern of constant flight. Or else you're going to be like some of the early monks who just went out and lived as hermits in the desert by themselves all day, every day, for years. In the end, that doesn't allow us to engage the culture, which Christ has called us to. In order to spread the gospel and bring Christianity to people around us, we have to know people in the culture to evangelize to. So yes, sometimes we need to flee, but that can't be our pattern of response for all of life. And then accepting the culture kind of goes without saying. We cannot, as Christians, accept every part of culture and just engage in it, even though that is the easiest method and that's our easiest response. Because in doing so, like I've said multiple times already, we will be dragged away from Christ. So I want to touch quickly on three key areas or three key ways of being a leader and what that means for us as Christians. First of all, leadership means standing up for what you believe in, even when it's tough. It means being willing to take a stand to literally position yourself in the view of everyone else, knowing you might be ridiculed, knowing you might be humiliated, knowing that people might walk away from you, might make fun of you, but being willing to stand there anyway. Again, Daniel and his friends were willing to do this. Daniel was held in high regard by the king. We see that at the very end of chapter 1. He was held around or kept around through many different power changes. Daniel served for about 70 years as a king's advisor to 5 different kings and emperors. We know Daniel was highly thought of and highly valued. In the good times, Daniel served and led well. But notice something about Daniel's life. Probably many of you have studied Daniel before. Were times always good for Daniel? No. Daniel and his friends, shortly after the story of chapter 1, are called to bow down before a giant golden statue of the king of Babylon. And if not, they're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace and be destroyed. And you know, what do? They refuse to bow down, and they're willing to die. They get thrown in the fiery furnace. Yes, they hoped God would save them, but God didn't have to. They were willing to die for what they believed in, even though it was tough. Later on, as an old man, Daniel is living again under yet another king who's like, no, I don't really want to follow God. In fact, I'm going to make this law that says you have to pray to me for the next month. Did Daniel stop praying? Did he start praying to King Darius? Did he hide himself in a closet to pray? No. He literally prayed in his house with the windows open at the same time of day he always did. He knew people might see him. He knew he might get in trouble. But he also knew, like he had lived his whole life up to that point, that God rewards people and is pleased by his people doing what he commands. So, what can we learn from this? Might God always protect us physically when we go against culture? No. Might it always look like we'll be rewarded like Daniel? No. But as a Christian, that's not what we should be most concerned with. We should be most concerned with where we're going. Again, this earth is not our home. God does promise to protect our souls for eternity. So, as Christians, we need to be leaders by standing up for what we believe in, even when times are tough. Secondly, being a leader means being a leader in every area of your life. Much like being a Christian means that Christ calls you to live for him, being a Christian leader means being a leader in everything you do. In other words, leading as a Christian is not just showing up to youth group and saying, oh, I helped take out the trash. Leading as a Christian is not just saying, oh, I'm the captain of my soccer team. I'm the leader. I'm going to stay behind. I'm going to make sure everyone's doing well on the team. Are those things good? Yeah. Are they aspects of being a leader? Absolutely. But as a Christian, it means you need to steward leadership in every aspect of your life. Just like in sports, it's not enough to go out on game days as an athlete and perform well. You have to lead well when you're not playing, by cheering on your teammates from the bench. It means helping your teammates get better in practice, even when you might not be playing well. It means being disciplined to eat right, maintain good shape, train well. As a student athlete, it also means studying well and getting your homework done on time and doing your best on it. Doing all of this will put you on the right track to being a good student athlete and leader. And really, this example is true for all of us who call ourselves Christians. As leaders, we should strive to lead in every aspect of our lives. That means maintaining our faith and following Jesus in everything we do. As I've gotten to know more of you guys, and literally my junior senior guys have been with them for 5 years, I can say God has blessed this youth group with a lot of good leaders. I've seen you guys lead well on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings, at fall retreat. But I've also seen you guys not lead in every aspect of your lives. And I'm going to challenge myself here too, because I don't always lead myself or follow Christ in the best way possible. Sometimes you guys talk in ways that are not honoring to Christ. Sometimes what I see on social media, you post music, you post things you're watching that don't honor Christ. Sometimes the way you talk about people, whether you think they're listening or not, doesn't honor Christ. And I'm not saying any of us are going to be perfect in here. We're not. We're not going to be perfect till we go to the new heavens and the new earth, because we're all sinners. But what I want to challenge you guys to is thoughtful examination of your own life. Thoughtful examination of every area. What are you saying? What are you involved in? What do you take pleasure in? What do you engage with? And how is it affecting you and the people around you? We should strive to grow closer to Christ each and every day. And if we're not taking steps to do that, it's not just going to happen. Being a Christian can't just be a little cherry on top of our life. It can't just be a little drawer that we say, oh, I'm going to pull out my Christian drawer today, and here's my Christian hat. I'm going to go to youth group. I'm going to go to Christian school. No, as a Christian, as a leader, we have to allow Christ and ask Christ and intentionally take steps to have Christ permeate every area of our life. And how do we do this practically? Exactly what we're doing right now. Asking one another to keep us accountable. Building Christian community. This is why the church is so important. I know not all of you go here. I hope all of you guys go to a good Christian church. The church isn't just for singing worship songs and listening to sermons. The church is a body of believers that Christ intentionally instituted so that we can keep each other on the straight and narrow. Much like when you're running a race, and it's easier to have someone alongside of you cheering you on or running that race with you, the Christian life is the same way. Going on this path, trying to be a leader, trying to be a Christian in every area of our lives, that's a lot tougher on your own than it is with people. So we need each other to hold one another accountable and run the race well if we truly want to be the leaders that God intends us to be. And finally, leadership means sacrifice. As a leader and as a Christian, I hate to break it to you if you haven't found this out already, you're not always going to get what you want. You will miss out on some things. You may have to take responsibility for things that you were not actually responsible for. You will give of your time as a Christian. You will give of your talents. You will give of your energy. And you will give of your money, even when it's hard to do those things. Many of you may say, hold up, Kyle, that doesn't sound very fun. Why do I want to do that? You know what? Sometimes it isn't. But it's exactly what Jesus did. It's not like Jesus went around having fun all the time. Jesus was a carpenter. Oftentimes he was homeless, walking from town to town. I mean, think about his death. Jesus' life was for our benefit, and as Christians, we're called to do the same for others. Not only that, but it does allow us to build trust and friendship with those around us. You sacrifice, you spend time, you spend energy, you spend money on people, those people are going to take notice. They're probably going to be a lot more interested in what you have to say because you are genuinely following what you believe. You know what? God will and does honor those sacrifices for his kingdom. You'll probably find, if you intentionally live this way, that sacrificing others does produce satisfaction. Ultimately, it does produce happiness in us as we see others thrive. I think each and every one of the leaders here would say the same thing. That's part of why we come here every Wednesday and build into you guys. Because we feel happy when we see you guys thriving in your faith. So, in conclusion, saying all of this, I get that this might be a discouraging or discouraging sounding sermon. That's not what I want this to be. I want this to be a challenge, yes, but I want to encourage you guys. God will give you the power to stand up for what you believe in if you seek it. God will give you the abilities to live your lives in a meaningful way to Him if you follow him and are willing to sacrifice for him. If we all do that, if we hold one another accountable to doing that, the culture might not like us, but guess what? God will honor us, and he's going to honor our work. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for this time. I thank you for each and every one of these students here, Lord. I just pray that in this room, these students would be intentional, Lord, in following you, intentional to coming to you. And Lord, I pray that from this room, we would have so many future leaders, so many future Christian leaders, Lord, that would evangelize even in a culture that does not love you, Lord. So I pray that you would help us take accountability, that we would examine the areas of our life that do not glorify you, that we would work on cutting those out, Lord, but that we would also examine where we are leading well, Father, that you would build these students up to be leaders in right now in their schools and in their jobs and in their sports programs and extracurriculars. But Lord, I pray that you would also be building them to be leaders in their families, in their churches, in their work, and in their communities in the future. I thank you for giving us the ability to be leaders, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.